بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, may Allah سبحانه وتعالى reward محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم in keeping with his grace and his majesty. Islam is the biggest treasure, the biggest gift, the biggest blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. And this Islam didn't come to us on its own, it came to us through the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Who is this Nabi alayhi salam? He is the one who didn't just come and teach and go. He is the one who came and made his home in our hearts. And a home that remained his home and remains his home until the last Muslim draws breath before the Day of Judgment. My brothers and sisters, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, the most beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu said one day, he said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way of speaking was that he would completely turned towards the person that he was addressing. He didn't speak to people over their shoulder. If he was walking and somebody was walking with him and they asked him a question and he had to reply, he would stop, he would turn around to the person, he would look at them in the face directly, eye to eye contact, and then he would speak to them. The same thing he would do when he was in his majlis and he was speaking to people. If he was addressing an individual, then he would be completely focused towards that person. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu said that every one of us felt that Rasulullah loved us or loved that individual more than anybody else. So he said all of us felt this. We felt that he loved, I felt that he loves me more than he loves anybody else. So Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu said, one day I decided to ask Rasulullah. So I didn't want to ask him directly. You know, I didn't want to say, Ya Rasulullah, do you love me the most? So he said, I asked him indirectly. And I said to him, Ya Rasulullah, who do you love the most? Rasulullah said, Aisha radiallahu anha. So Amr ibn al-As said, well, I decided to push it a bit. And so I said, Ya Rasulullah, that is among the women, but you know, who do you love the most among the men? So he said, the father of Aisha, which is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu said, I decided not to take any more risks in this matter, so I didn't ask him anymore. Amusing though the story is, it shows us that Rasulullah ﷺ loved Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, his wife and our mother, more than he loved anybody else. And that Aisha radiallahu anha one day said to him, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for me. Now think about this. Here is his most beloved person in the world asking him to make dua for her. So what dua does he make? He says, Oh Allah, forgive Aisha whatever she has done, and forgive her whatever she will do, and forgive her whatever she did hidden and whatever she did that was visible. Sirran wa alaniya. He said, whatever is hidden and whatever is visible. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha was absolutely beside herself with delight. She was totally and completely delighted. Obviously, she would be. I mean, think about this and say, what do you think will be your state if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua for you? I want you to think about this. I want you to shut your eyes, reflect and say, imagine you're sitting in his majlis. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that we sit in his majlis in Jannatul Firdaus and that we ask him this question ourselves and say, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for me. And what dua does he make? So in this case, put yourself in that situation, sit in front of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him and say, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for me. And listen to what dua he made. So Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha made this request and he made this dua. He said, Oh Allah, forgive the sins of Aisha radiallahu anha, whatever she did till now and whatever she might do till the end of her days, and forgive her all her sins which may be visible, alaniya, and which may be hidden, sirran. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha was delighted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, "Ya Aisha, are you happy with this dua?" He said, "Oh Aisha, are you happy with this dua?" Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can I not be happy with this dua? What a beautiful dua. What an absolutely fantastic dua. How can I not be happy with this dua? There is no dua that can be better than this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives me completely and totally. Ya Rasulullah, how can I not be happy with this dua?" And she thanked him and she said, "You made this dua for me, Ya Rasulullah. I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm so happy." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her, "Ya Aisha, I make this same dua for my ummah in every salah, every day." Yeah, my brothers and sisters, and I told you, sit there in the majlis of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him, "Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for me." What is the dua that he's making? This is the dua that he will give you. Because this is the dua he already gave you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should forgive all your sins, whatever you have done, and should forgive everything else that you might do, and that he should forgive anything you do in public and anything you do in private. My brothers and sisters, this is not encouragement to do sins. This is not to say that whatever you do, whether you make tawbah or istighfar or not, Allah will forgive you because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua. Please understand, there is a dignity in the dua of the Nabi alayhi salam. And that dignity is that a Muslim will not and cannot deliberately, knowingly disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So this refers to things that might happen because of forgetfulness, because of lack of knowledge, because we are weak. And it obviously affects also anything that we do, even if it's done deliberately, as long as we make tawbah for it. This is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu one day decided to pray behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did this a couple of times, but this is one incident where they, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was started praying tahajjud, these two sahaba, who were the among the dearest of the sahaba that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, and both of whom were beautiful reciters of the Quran, they were qura of the Quran. There were some sahaba who were known for their beautiful recitation. Abu Musa al-Ashari was one, Usayd bin Hudayr was one, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was one, radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So Usayd ibn Hudayr and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, they decided to pray behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when they prayed, they stood behind him while he was praying, and they listened, and they are listening to the recitation. After Surah Al-Fatiha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts reciting this ayat, where he said, وَإِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكُ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. This is the ayat at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, the conversation of Isa alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reported, where Isa alayhi salam says, "Oh Allah, وَإِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ." Oh Allah, if you decide to punish them, they are your slaves. You own them. They are yours. You can do whatever you like with them. There is no one to question you. فَإِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. Oh Allah, if you decide to punish them, they are your slaves. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Oh Allah, but if you decide to forgive them, then you are the Almighty, the All-Powerful and the All-Wise. Now, Usayd ibn Hudayr and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud say that Rasulullah ﷺ recited this ayat, and he repeated, and he repeated, and he repeated, and he repeated, until it came almost to the time of Salatul Fajr, which means in this entire Salah, Rasulullah read only this one ayah. And when it looked like it was close to Salatul Fajr, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited something and he finished his Salah. Now these two Sahaba were absolutely astonished. They were very surprised. How is it that the Nabi Alayhi Salaam recited just one ayat in this whole Salah? Anyway, they went away. And then they had a conversation. They, Usayd ibn Hudayr and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, they said, you know, Usayd ibn Hudayr said, I think we should ask Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is the hikmah, what is the wisdom behind this thing? How is it that you recited only one ayat? So this one said to the other one, you ask, and then the other one said to this one, you ask, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said to Usayd ibn Hudayr, you ask, and Usayd ibn Hudayr said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you ask, radiallahu anhu. And finally, Usayd ibn Hudayr radiallahu anhu, he prevailed. He said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that you are higher in status than I am. You are closer to Mr. Sallam than I am. He loves you more than he loves me. And these are all, you know, subjective perceptions of people, alhamdulillah. And also it's their own innate humility. So you ask him. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he got his courage together. And the courage is not because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a frightening person. He was not. This is the courage, meaning the adab of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, somebody asked the same Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, same Amr ibn al-As who I mentioned earlier, radiallahu anhu. They said, describe for us the face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What did his beautiful countenance look like? What did he look like? And Amr ibn al-As says, I don't know. I cannot describe. So they said, what kind of a strange answer is that? You sit in his majlis, you talk to him, you are there, you are listening to him. How do you mean you can't describe him? You can't describe his face? He said, because I never looked at his face. He said, out of adab, out of respect, I never directly looked at his beautiful face. My brothers and sisters, today we live in a world which is characterized by bad manners, by rude people, by people who have no consideration for age or for knowledge, people who speak to others who are old enough to be their fathers and grandfathers in the same way that they talk to each other, like they talk to their own people of their own age. They talk to ulama as if they are talking to some, you know, bus driver or something. I mean, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah, we live in a very difficult time, but the Sahaba, they had adab, they had respect for each other. And so, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu said, I never looked at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I sat in his company for all the time that I was there, but I never looked at him. So this was adab. So now when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu wants to go and ask Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has to bring up his courage and say, well, I'm going to ask a question of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he goes and he says, Ya Rasulullah, Usayd ibn Hudayr and I were praying, we prayed tahajjud behind you, and we noticed that you recited only this one ayah in the entire Salah. Rasulullah, if it pleases you, will you explain to us why did you recite this only one ayat in this entire Salah? Rasulullah said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, Ya Ibn Mas'ud, I was making dua for my ummah. He said, I was not just reciting Quran, I was making dua for my ummah. I am saying to Allah, O Allah, if you want to punish them, they are your slaves. But if you want to forgive them, Ya Rab, who is there to question you? Hey, who is there to question you? Antal Azizul Hakim. You are the most powerful, you are the most wise. Ya Allah, if you decide to forgive all of them, who is there to question you? Subhanallah, this is our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the one whose sunnah we are so, you know, we don't want to follow. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. This is the one whose sunnah we question. This is the one who we push back. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. My brothers and sisters, this is the one Allah loves. And Allah loves the one who loves the one he loves. This is the one Allah loves. And Allah loves the one who loves the one he loves. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحُبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. He said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to those who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make your ittiba, to to follow you, to emulate you, to imitate you, and then what will happen? Allah will love them. And when Allah loves them, the boundary condition, the basic fundamental thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive their sins. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And to help us understand that loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not mean simply singing anashid and naat and so on and so forth. It means following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every single thing that he did in his life. That is the basic fundamental thing that we can do. Please, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us stop fooling ourselves. The love of Allah is the obedience of Allah. The love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Neither for the love of Allah nor for the love of Muhammad is our sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is simply our claim that will be accepted. It will not be accepted. We have to prove our claim, and the proof of the claim is in doing what they told us to do. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.